Psalm 100, a psalm of thanksgiving. Make a joyful shout to Yahweh, all you lands. Serve Yahweh with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that Yahweh, he is God. It is he who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name, for Yahweh is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. Amen. Well, this concludes a section from Psalm 93 to Psalm 100 of praise psalms, worship psalms, especially for corporate worship, and the last several, especially for the worship of all lands, all nations, when the Lord comes as judge in righteousness, what we now call the second coming, for the Lord has come the first time, not to judge the world, not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And so the Lord Jesus is coming again, and every time then his people gather for worship, we have a dress rehearsal of the praise that we shall offer in the last day, the praise that we will offer for all eternity. This particular psalm is full of worship commands. It commands us to worship him in a particular manner. We see that in verses 1 and 2 and 4. It commands us to worship him as a particular people. And we'll see that especially in verse 3 and a little bit in verse 1. And it commands us to worship him for particular attributes or characteristics. And we see that especially in verse 5. So first, we are to worship him in a particular manner. How are we supposed to worship God? Loudly, but not just the loudness of mouth, but the loudness of our hearts. A joyful shout. It's one verb, and it refers to joy that is so great that it overflows in a shout. We should be so glad about God when we come to worship that we are unwilling to sing songs in which we... We're unwilling to eat our words and sing half-heartedly so that we can't hear ourselves, let alone the person next to us hear us. How would they be able to obey? Or how would we be able to obey the instruction to admonish one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs if we can't hear one another anyway? Well, if we obey this, make a joyful shout, it should be loud, and it should be happy. Serve Yahweh with gladness. And yes, there should be singing and worship. He has given singing so that it would be loud and so that it would be glad. This is one of the great purposes. We should be glad in all of the worship, but God makes us to sing. Come before his presence with singing. Not just over him, but over what he has done. These two things are combined. Thanksgiving in verse 4. Be thankful to him in verse 4. Thankfulness for what he has done, and joyous over who he is in his courts with praise and bless his name. So we rejoice over who he is and what he has done. So that's worshiping God in a particular way. It doesn't mean, by the way, that you have a loud sound system or loud people on stage and the congregation is quiet. No, it means all of us, all you lands, he says in verse 1. And that brings us to worshiping him as a particular people. Because when he says all you lands in verse 1, he then pairs it with ourselves being the people who know him. Verse 3. This is also part of how to worship him in a particular way, but it has to do with us being the people who know him, the people who have been brought into relationship with him. This isn't just know about him. When we come to worship, we are commanded to know God. Here is the amazing thing the living God, the Creator, has given to a few of his creatures, well, an innumerable multitude, but from among the whole creation, a few of his creatures, that we might know him, that we might have fellowship with him. And so there's a command to come and interact with God, for your soul to have dealings with God in his worship. Even now, of course, in the family worship, you should never just go through exercises, but should hear the words of God and receive them and ask him to help you, and everything he says about himself, you praise him for, and so forth. So we have dealings with God as those whom he has brought to himself. Not just his making us as creatures. It is he who made us and not we ourselves. That's true. We didn't make ourselves as creatures. That's pretty obvious, isn't it? But it's talking about him making us his people. We do not make ourselves his people. The reason we can know him is because he decided to save us, because he brought us into a relationship with himself. And we should be so amazed that he has done this. More amazed than the little slave girl who gets chosen by the king to be the bride for his son, the prince, and she becomes the princess and one day the queen. And every time she has interaction with her father, the king, and her husband, the prince, and then the king, she would be amazed. She didn't make her put herself in that position. He did. How much more when the living God has brought us to know him? And it wasn't we who made ourselves his people. He made us his people. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. He leads us. He cares for us. He knows us. He provides for us. In fact, the end of verse 3 and the beginning of verse 4 is a double image. Not just gates and courts, where you would enter a city with the gate, or you would enter into the presence of the king. When it talks about his courts, it's not just an outdoor place. It can even be an indoor place. The king's court is where he holds court. And so that's one image. But when it talks about sheep entering a gate, the other image is of the sheep coming in one by one, the shepherd making sure that not one of them is missing. He knows each of them. He's counted them. He cares for them. And Psalm 100 is describing God being like that with us. Our congregation isn't very big, but even in our congregation, you might feel like you're just one about among many, and it wouldn't be a big deal if you were missing. It would be a big deal to God. We are the sheep of his pasture. He watches over as each of us enter. And we should be so amazed that he has taken us to be his, so amazed at the love that he pays individually to every member of his church, that we come with gladness and joy and thanksgiving to such a God. And so we come as a particular people. Well, not only are we to worship in a particular way and to come as a particular people, but we come to worship him especially for particular attributes. We worship him for all of his attributes. His justice, his holiness, his wrath, which is really part of his justice, an expression of justice and holiness. But here he lists three that are especially on display when he gathers to himself a people that he has saved by his grace, not by what they have done. He made them his people, not by what they have done, but by what he has done, so that they could gather to him and be glad as those who belong to him. And the three great things he displays are his goodness, verse 5a, for Yahweh is good, his chesed, his steadfast love, his covenanted love, translated here mercy, but it's the word chesed in verse 5b. His chesed is everlasting. We are never going to stop worshiping him for this. We are never going to stop being amazed. It will never get old. It will never get boring. And his emet and his truth, same thing, endures to all generations. And so there'll never be a time when we say, oh, Oh, we've heard about God's goodness and sung about his covenant love and praised him for his truth for a couple hundred Googleplex years. And no, even then, we will still rejoice over these attributes of God that we will plumb the depths of forever and never reach the bottom. And so how much we ought to rejoice over his goodness and his covenant love and his faithfulness every time we come to worship. Because whatever else is in the passages that we read, just the fact that we are his and that he's gathering us to himself shows his goodness and his covenant love and his faithfulness. This is the praise that is due to him. And I dare say this is what we need continual reminding of for ourselves, such as the generosity of God, that he would so design such worship as this. Amen. Let's pray that he would help us to follow such good commands. Our gracious God and our Heavenly Father, we pray that you would make us glad to worship you individually, glad to worship you as a family, and especially in the gathering on the Lord's Day when there are people from many lands who have been taken as the sheep of your pasture, that you'd fill our hearts with gladness and our mouths with glad shouting and song. We pray that you would make us to know ourselves as your particular people, whom you made to be your people. We pray that you would show forth your goodness and covenant love and faithfulness, not just making them ring in our ears, but resound in our hearts, that we would know you in the worship and that we would know you as this God of goodness and love and faithfulness. Grant it, we ask, O Lord, especially in these days of our weakness, until we come to the day when our joy is like Christ's joy and it is full, and we worship you perfectly forever. Give us to have dress rehearsals for that throughout our lives, we ask, day by day in the home, week by week in the assembly, in Jesus' name. Amen.